It's wonderful to be here with you, to see many old faces and new faces. And thank you for coming. The time that we have been here in India, in some ways, has seemed awfully slow. But I went over all the things that have been accomplished in these 4 years, and I couldn't believe it. It's been amazingly much. So I wanted to list you a few things for you, but I wanted also to say how it all came about. When I lived with Master, when I first came over across the country to see him, there were two things I wanted. I desperately wanted to know God, but I thought, this is such a wonderful mission, it's such a wonderful message, the whole world should know about it. And he picked up on that and told me that I had a life of lecturing and writing and editing and so on. And I didn't like the idea of being in the public eye, and I said, Master, please spare me that. I don't want to do that. And he said, you'd better learn to like it. That's what you have to do. And I have seen over the years that it is what I myself most deeply wanted. I've always had this division inside. Half of me wanted to be a hermit, but the other half wanted to serve. And I've always been that sort of person. If I find something good, I want everybody to know about it. And so he told me very soon after I first came to him, you have a great work to do. And he kept saying this, and I never took it as a compliment. I took it slightly uneasily, as though, dear, what a burden. But I was happy to do what I could for him, until gradually I came to understand that what he meant was that I would have to do his work. And that's really how it has turned out. By default, most of the other people who have been his disciples have thought of him in terms of this near, dear, sweet, lovable person, and how well they're serving him if they improve the lawn at headquarters and do a few little things like this. And I wanted to get out there and tell everybody. And so when I came, he used to tell me that your work will someday be in India. And when I came here in 1958, I was appalled to see how very little people understood what his mission was. It wasn't just repeating what the rishis have said. It was showing how this teaching can be applied in Dwapara Yuga. It was showing how practical it is in an age of energy. It was a whole new thing. And this is what the avatars do when they come into this world. They have great special dispensations to bring a new teaching to mankind, and I saw that was what he wanted. But in our work of YSS, there was none of that understanding. They just thought, well, it's just another ashram, and we're happy to do what we can, but so long as we don't get over interested in it. And I used to really want to do something to make his name and his teachings known. So when I came to Delhi, I found that there was a lot of interest here. And as a result, I tried to create a big work here. Well, again, my view of his work was very different from that of my brother and sister disciples. And when they saw what I was trying to do, they were so horrified that in the end I was thrown out. And I came to understand that this was the greatest blessing that could have come to me, because it enabled me to do what I knew he wanted me to do, because he had told me again and again. But I hadn't been able to do it under the obedience that I had to have to superiors who had no such thoughts. And so it is that I have built Ananda when he was, I should start by saying that when I was 15 is when I first thought seriously of starting communities. And I got many of my friends interested until they found I was serious. Then they all left. But I still had the feeling, this is what the world needs. And I have that feeling more now than ever, that you would need groups of people where people can see this new way of thinking concentrated. Somebody said to me a few years ago in Ananda Village, you have some wonderful souls here. I said, if you see one or two people like that, you can say they're wonderful. When you see everybody like that, you have to say that it's what they are doing that makes them that way. And this is what has happened, that people are coming from all over the world, from Taiwan and Japan and India and everywhere, to see what it is that makes this thing work. And we have built, this next year will be our 40th anniversary of Ananda Communities. And we have communities now, as I think all of you know, there are about 8 of them around the world. And I have lived some years in India, in Italy, because I wanted to build the work in Europe also. And I always remembered that Master wanted me to work in India. Well, in America, what we have found is that we are the ones who are really carrying forth this mission. If you go into the bookstores, it's our books that are selling far more than the others. And it's people know Ananda. And I thought, well, if it's going well in India, then there's no need for us. But if it isn't, then I should come here. And I found out that it was not really known here. And so I came here 4 years ago, as you know. This is what I hope to call, to be able to call, the last chapter of my life. People urged me to be around. Some doctor said to me, you could live to be 100. I said, don't curse me. But I am happy to stick around as long as I can be of service to my guru. This is what I am living for. When we came to India, this was 4 years ago, we didn't have much. But when you look back now in 4 years, what has been accomplished has been really quite astounding. Let me read to you a list of it. First of all, we've had teachers traveling all over India giving lectures, classes, Kriya initiations. Thousands of people have heard the talks. Hundreds have taken Kriya initiation in many cities. There's a growing staff here. Now we have about 55. Many of them are Indians. And what we want to do is gradually turn this thing over to Indians. We don't want to run it here. It's not proper. It's not right. You're the guru of the world. I mean, India is the guru of the world. It should be coming from here. But when I was a child in Taliajin in Romania, my parents gave me a bicycle. And I taught all the children around there how to ride a bicycle. I would hold the seat and hold the handlebar and run with them. Then when I saw that they had their balance, I let go of the handlebar and kept hold of the seat. Then when I saw they were doing well, then I let go of the seat and just ran with them. And then they saw that they were alone, they took off. This is how we want to do it and how we are doing it here, that we're getting people into the saddle and helping them to move. And finally, we will withdraw. We want you all to take it over, and therefore I want you all to feel that we're not here to entertain you. We're here to spur you to do something. And I'm very grateful that this is really what has been happening. In our choir, which we have here, it's wonderful to see so many Indians singing. We have launched a choir here. And so let me go on. The Wishing Tree has been a wonderful outlet, and many people have been coming to Ananda through the Wishing Tree, and we have many businesses that have sprung up from it that are very helpful, helpful for building the work and for serving. There are many new publications. I want to talk about them soon. And Ananda is sort of on the map now, you might say. Everywhere people go, you hear that people know about Ananda. This in only 4 years is very good. When we came to India in 1958, Master had been working in India, but mostly from America. His work had been here for 40 years. And it killed us to see them all snoring. Or hear them all snoring, see them sleeping. And after another period of years until 2004 we came here? Three? Still snoring. So now I think that is changing. Thank God for that. I'm just grateful. But then Ananda, as I said, is on the map. We have quite a number of articles that have appeared in major newspapers. Most of you have seen them. We found and signed to purchase 30 acres of land in Pune or near Pune. We hope to make it over 100, but we don't dare go in there too obviously because the land prices would go up. So we're trying to keep it hush-hush for about a year. We'll move in a year. This is the thinking. And we've purchased a beautiful three-story home in Gurgaon, and you've seen all these other houses that we are renting. And Nirmala gave me a list of things which are also very important. Cecilia's Khadi work, which is giving a lot of work to villagers and helping to make Indian products known in the West. The spirit in nature essences. What happened was that Bach flower remedies were a popular thing in the West, and I thought, well, Master has said things that come from his intuition, which would be much deeper, on the psychological benefits of different fruits. And so I thought, why not get an essence of those fruits from the blossoms? So we have these spirit in nature essences, and instead of trying to remedy illnesses, they're means of helping to stimulate the positive side. So they're very helpful, and they're doing better and better. And we have a monastery here with several young men. We hope to have more young men. We'd like to get for women also, and any of you would like to think in those terms, feel free. And then we have another idea that came to me. I realized one thing that's desperately needed today is a new kinds of energy, so we don't have to be so dependent on oil. Oil is now nearly $100 a barrel. That's a lot of money. And it's becoming a serious problem for people. I do think, quite honestly, that the economy of the world is going haywire. It isn't here in India. It won't be here for a while. But if America falls, which it will, the rest of the world will fall too. So I think we're in for a hard time that way. I'm sorry to say it. But our attempts to create alternate kinds of energy are a very good thing, very practical. We have scientific people here doing this. We're trying to create a new solar energy that looks very practical and very promising. And we've got distributorships for other kinds of energy, wind energy and so on. So this too, I would love to see us go into all the villages of India and bring cheap electricity there. Electricity now is about 70% or so, I don't know the exact figure, of India has no electricity. We're hoping to change that. That will change the face of India. So we have a school that we're starting here in a year. Preeti has given land for this purpose, and she's going to get it started. We'd like to have an institute of cooperative living to train teachers how to teach with our system. And this is one of the books that just came out, Education for Life. Yeah. I have to say this is a very good system. I know that if you read it, you will be enthusiastic. And I'd like to spread that all over. I read the papers about all these children committing suicide. It's terrible. We find that in our schools, the children are happy and much more able than they are in the ordinary school system. They pass their exams. It's not as if they were just playing jokes and games. They pass their exams in the top 5th percentile of America. They are shining examples when they go to other schools. And they are often leaders of their school and so on. This is an all-round education which has been a very important aspect of what Master wanted. He wanted to start that. He started it here in Ranchi, but it's a problem for masters always to find people who can carry it on. And most of the disciples who come just think in terms of their own spiritual growth. And Master was very glad when he found that in me he had somebody who was also eager to serve this cause. I have been with him in other lives doing the same thing, and I'm grateful for it. And so we're hoping to have an intentional community down in Pune. Meanwhile, we really have one now. We have about a staff of about 51 residents, many of which are Indians. my course in material success, which I'll go into again a little bit later, is something that we have businesses around to help people to understand that in business too you can be dharmic. Business too can be a kind of religion where you serve people and serve God and can grow and have peace and be completely dharmic. Well, I'll tell you the story behind that one, because I was this was 2 or 3 years ago, I was having double pneumonia, and they took me in an ambulance to the hospital. I was very bitter about it. No sirens, nothing. But anyway, there I was, sort of stretched out, almost unconscious. And this doctor came into the room. He said, "Sir, can you help me?" I thought, "What do you mean, help you? I'm the guy who's needing help." He said, I have a son in college in Canada, and I have many responsibilities. How is it possible to make ends meet financially and be completely dharmic?" And I tried to tell him that I have found in my life that I have been much more successful by rigidly adhering to dharma. But the difficult thing was that lying there almost unconscious was not the best advertisement for success. And I didn't convince him. And so the next day I decided I would write a course. And it took me a year and a half to write this, and it's a very good course. And we have businesses to help bring this out, to help people. I would like in America and Europe, but especially also here, to help people to understand. I would like to see India assume the responsibility God has given it for being the guru of the world. And the first thing is, you've got to be that yourselves. You've got to be in tune with that. And so we've had many pilgrimages, and we've hosted hundreds of pilgrimages also away from here to America and Italy, and hosted hundreds of guests, and put on several plays, and different things. So I want to go on and on with this. It's marvelous to see how much we've done. I can hardly believe it. We've come out with 28 books, and that's quite impressive. And so my own little offering in that has been, let's see here. Well, there. So, in my own little world, I have managed to do a few things. My pre-recorded television series is every day of the year for the whole year. You saw me at my last recording. I looked fresh. I have to tell you, I was not fresh. One of those days, I did 235 programs in 1 month. And I would not have done that many. It was 10 every day, 50 every week. I would have not have done that many, but we had hired this crew to come in and televise it, record it on the television camera. So I had to, and it was not easy. One day, Asha, who was here then, brought me my breakfast up in my room, and then came back half an hour later, and I had not had the strength to lift the spoon up to my mouth. That's how tired I was. When I finished the program, this is after the one you saw me looking smiling and happy, I vomited everything in my stomach. I was so exhausted. But it was worth it, and I'm very grateful. It reaches between 20 and 25 million homes every day. And this is very gratifying. And I've given several major lectures to many hundreds of people, as you saw here. And once a month talk for the public, and I'm now giving a weekly satsang for our staff and close friends. The books I have written include books, lessons, articles. I wrote The Essence of the Bhagavad Gita, Revelations of Christ, which will be out very soon. Where is Sangeeta?
Yes, sir.
How soon?
Sir,
Next week. It's always next week. Just a... Anyway. And Sadhu Beware, Material Success, some 8 articles on important subjects. We have the... Hold that. The Gita Only, which just came out.
Swamiji, may I interject? I brought 2 of those with me to Bombay this weekend.
Yes.
And I showed them to people yesterday. Everybody wanted one.
Yeah, oh, good. So well, you know, they're small enough to put in your purse or your pocket. Yeah. And they are... What's different about it is that, you know, so many English, at least, and I suspect Hindi copies of the Gita are practically illegible. They're very clumsy English, and I don't know about the Hindi, but I suspect so. And so I made it English. And I think you'll find it very easy to read, very easy to understand. And then in the first chapter, when I put out the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, I did not explain at length the first chapter and a half, because in all the books that have explained Lahiri Mahasaya's teaching and Master's teaching, it goes on for 100, 200 pages, and I didn't want to bog people down in that. But that first chapter is very important, and I figured out a way to make it brief, concise, and clear. So I think you'll find that a very helpful book. The first chapter is a very important chapter, and most people think of it as just sort of a category of warriors. However, each warrior has a psychological meaning, and we're really talking of Dharmakshetra inside the body. This body, as it says later in the Gita, this body is the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It's all a symbol of the war inside ourselves, and all the people in that story are aspects of our own consciousness, which we need to raise, and then we're having a fight against those things that try to pull us down. So, I wrote Sadhu Beware and so on. Well, you've seen all that, and I've done a number of recordings, and. I think that's about it. Anyway, as you can see, we've had a... I am very grateful for what Master has been able to do through me. Sometimes people ask me, well, how have you been able to accomplish so much? And as I look back, I suppose I've done a few things. I've written over 400 bits of music and 90 books and started communities. And you can say it's kept me off the streets, possibly. But I have to say this, and it's something that I want to share with you. I could not have done it. Before I came to Master, I wanted to be a writer, and I would have the page there, and I would say, chapter 1. I didn't know what to say. And I wanted to be a playwright, and I thought, what's the use? I don't know the truth. Why should I infect people with my ignorance? So I gave up writing. But when I met Master, I found that he could give me the answers, and again in my books, I can't tell you how often, I have not known the answer, and I've said, well, Master, give it to me, and it's been there. And there have been several times when I have had to write a book in a very short time, like Cities of Light. I had finished a month of seclusion, and then I had to come out, and I had had a lot of activities, when Padma said to me, that we need a book on Ananda. We're coming up to our 20th anniversary. Now it's the 40th. But 20 years ago, she said, we ought to have a book on Ananda. And I said, I know, but I don't have time. I only have a week. And she said, well, it would be nice. And I said, yeah, it would be nice, but it's not possible. And then I went home and I thought, well, it would be nice. And I thought, well, I can't do it, but Master, you can do it. And it just flowed. I didn't have to think. It was just perfect. And right in the middle of that, the electricity went off. I lost an entire day's work, and still it worked. And in 4 days, I wrote that book. This is the sort of thing you will find. The more you tune in, the more you will find God and Guru can work through you. But they want willing instruments. And that's what they have had a problem getting. People think only in terms of what am I getting out of this. But God gives more to those who give more. And I'm grateful that we have been here. We, almost everybody on our staff, nobody gets money from it. Everybody is paying to work here. But it's a worthwhile undertaking. We're happy to do it as a service. And thank you all for being a part of it. And I just want to say God bless you.